Friday. This is April. No, April. What am I saying? This is May the 3rd, the year 2024. This is a Friday morning version of this thing of ours. This is our review of what is happening. It is right now, as of today, 187 days until the 186 days until the election. And that doesn't really matter to most people. That doesn't mean anything because people, for the most part, are just reacting. They don't really understand what's happening. They're just taking all this data in and they're not being able to sift through what's happening. And a lot of it has to do with how you focus. You focus in, focus out, how you look in, how you look out, how is it that you're taking this? Most people will look at one particular story, one particular take, and it's difficult for you to back up, take everything in collectively. That's difficult. That's admittedly difficult, but that's what we're going to do. You're missing one of the most important events ever. I cannot tell you how I start off saying, okay, here's what I want to tell my dear friends. This is the message I want to put across. And I always think like, I didn't even come close. Didn't even come close to explaining what this is about. I want you to imagine, I always think of maybe some kind of an analogy or something. I want you to imagine reading an instrument panel. You're a pilot, let's say, and you're doing your best to take all of this information in. And some of it matters, some of it's not. Some of it's critical, some of it's not. Some of it's explanatory, some of it is just because they had room on the dashboard, they put another idiot light on or whatever. Some things matter, some things don't. How do you figure this out? Don't really know. Either way, this is where we are. This is where we are. We are in the midst of a change that is going to be so drastic. And I want to say something right now. Since 1948, since the creation of the State of Israel, America, for the most part, has had a rather kind of a benign look in the, it's just what Israel and the Middle East is about. The narrative was so important, the collective narrative, what you thought about Israel in particular. Israel was this, the way it was portrayed. And it's true. I'm not exaggerating. This little country that could, that from the Haganah to this incredible determination, how they built this land surrounded by enemies into this international powerhouse. They have 0.2% of the population, maybe 2% here in this country. And it's just incredible. And the story, the gumption, the courage, the narrative, how Hollywood portrayed it, 1972, Arafat, terrorism. Oh. And now it is at a crossroads. This is so critical. And it takes an adult to review this. And I mean an adult group of people who can look at this and try to be objective and to fight back this petulance, this anger, and dare I say in some respects, this hatred that I'm seeing still on both sides. Get ready, my friends. Stand back and prepare. Make sure you are subscribed to the channel. And before we begin, this critical word from our critical sponsor. It's no longer a question of if something catastrophic is coming. It's when. And while you still have control, still have time, what are you going to do about it now to prepare? Your first step is going to my website at preparewithlionel.com. Preparewithlionel.com. Your next step is stocking up on multiple four-week emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply. And for a limited time, take $50 off a four-week emergency food supply. My Patriot Supply is equipped to help you prepare. They've helped over 2 million families already. These four-week kits with Ready Hour Foods provide over 2,000 calories every day, 16 varieties, 25-year shelf life, breakfast, lunches, dinners, snacks, drinks, and they're sealed inside 2 31-pound rugged waterproof buckets, and they last up to 25 years in storage. Take advantage right now, my friend, and go to preparewithlionel.com. That's preparewithlionel.com. As I told you, it's difficult to take all this data in and figure it out and react to it objectively and not necessarily by virtue of what you think you should react or how you should react. We've got a lot of things we're talking about. First and foremost, I want to talk to you about some things that are, it's hard to say, as far as being important and critical, but I think they are to me, and maybe it's my own particular idiosyncrasies, but there is this, for lack of a better word, this chicken shit Ben Shapiro, who pulled something, which is, I love to see how people who are supposedly so smart can do something so stupid. And what they are doing to Candace Owens is you are just turning over hero status to her for reasons that most people cannot understand in the least. Don't understand it. Can't figure this one out. Don't understand what you're doing. I did a video on that. And members of the nation here always get videos first. You can peruse that. And I look at things the way I've known about what I've learned about professional wrestling, politics, media, tactics, strategy, impression, and how it works. In the old days, when you wanted to see how things worked, you could say, how are the newspapers handling it? How is television handling it? How is maybe radio handling it? And that's it. It was very easy. You could figure this thing out. You could, because there was just so little media. It was little. Now today you're saying, how is this being handled? Number one, I just find this fascinating. Candace Owens, whom I'm not a fan of any of these people. When I say I'm not a fan of people. I'm fans of the information and kind of like the status. I don't know these people. They could be the greatest people in the world. I don't know. Joe Rogan, I think, still has the most important platform. Who is able to, he knows exactly what he's doing. Lex Fridman absolutely knows exactly what they're doing. And other people trying to figure out what they want to do. You know what example of that is? This Patrick Ben-David. I've been watching him just a little bit. He's still trying to figure this out. Am I funny? Am I this? Am I authoritative? He's doing, by the way, a morning zoo version of this. This is when you have a lot of people come in to help out because you think you need them and you really don't. That's the morning zoo came about. There was a fellow years ago. He really made it popular. His name is Scott Shannon. Scott Shannon was a very famous a radio producer, a programmer, of Z100 from worst to first. And you put a bunch of people in a room and you process it. The zoo. And somebody's bound to say something funny every now and then. You just tell everybody that's where that one is. It's very cacophonous. Doesn't really know, is he serious? Patrick Ben-David doesn't know what he is yet either. He's still trying to figure this thing out. I like people who know what they want to do. They know the format. They get it. And I like a one-man show. While I'm giving gratuitous praise and appraisal, Candace does it. She's a one-person show. Teams, I'm thinking of, ooh, you're telling me right away. No, You lose yourself in it. And there's always somebody in your team trying to vie for the position of who the big shot is. Okay? Keep in mind that. There's this thing sometimes when you're trying to figure out, do I know what's going on? Do I have a particular point of view? What is it that I'm trying to, it sounds crazy. It sounds nuts, but there are people who don't really know what it is that their show is about. I'll tell you who's got a great, who knows exactly what he wants to do. My buddy Styx knows exactly what he wants to do. Period. Has it down. And you always, he's McDonald's. It's my ultimate compliment. He knows exactly what he wants to be. And when you go in, you're not confused. Like, what is this? When you go into a McDonald's, you want the fries. You want consistency. He's doing that. Napolitano has completely changed the interviewing format. Others are, they have guests, but they don't lose themselves. It's fantastic. Patrick Ben-David, see something very interesting. Watch the beginning of David Berlinski, who was an absolute genius, and watch the first couple of minutes, and it's cringeworthy, talking about his tie. I'll let it go. Next, there's a group of people, there's this new insurgence, which I find interesting, of people who find that if you speak quickly and speak fast, which is really something especially for younger folks, because of this slog delivery, destiny. I don't know where this guy, all of a sudden I got hit with this, whatever his name is. He was on with, I think, with the slowest talker of the world and an absolute genius is Norm Finkelstein. Absolutely just the slowest and quiet. And they put the two together and it's just incredible. So you've got this Ben Shapiro, who's in that fast, celeritous speed. Candace, to an extent, has that. And then Destiny, I don't even know what he's saying. Because let me explain something to you. Half of what we're doing is stagecraft. Half of what you're trying to do. I want you to think about something. And I want you to feel always, this is my goal, I hope I do it, that I'm talking to you. I'm not talking at you, I'm talking to you. I'm not broadcasting, I'm talking to you. I don't want the person next to you to think, forget what I'm saying, whether it's sagacious or not, let other people decide. But I want the person next to you to think I'm talking to them too. That's critical. I want you to think I'm talking to you. So Ben Shapiro came along with this Candace Owens. And Ben Shapiro, I've got to tell you this before, because this is so funny. First rule, Ben, never, ever, ever turn down a debate. Nobody will remember the debate. Say what you want about Destiny. There was this, he had this wild, whether you like him or not, he shows up. Nobody remembers what he says because nobody knows what he's saying. They only remember when you say no. They only remember when you say no, I kind of, and this chicken shit, what he did with Candace is they're trying to work out a debate and they're getting a gag order, the non-disparagement violation. Wow. And that hurts the cause. Understand something too, Ben, that you hurt your marketability as selling the product and your product is an opinion. If you lose your mind, look what happened to Shmuley Botiak. He was off the rails. You don't even see him anymore. He's just like, he's in isolation. He's like a rabid dog. They're trying to calm down. Half of the stuff, which is the most difficult for most people to do, is to find out what's different, who's in, who's not, and what does this mean? What's in? What happens? Happens day to day to day. Have you noticed how Bobby Kennedy is all over the place? Bobby Kennedy doesn't know what he wants to do. Bobby Kennedy is just, they're pulling stuff up. I re- t- tweeted, whatever it's worth, reposted this. Bobby Kennedy wants to be famous. Bobby Kennedy wants to be this. He wants to be taken seriously. And he's not this screw up, you know, kid from the Kennedy clan who he always was, you know, he always came across very, very kind of sober. And I mean that in terms of the being serious. And now we realize he doesn't know what he's talking about. Who is consistent? Trump. Do you see Trump delivering pizzas? Whatever. By the way, Trump's throwing these. I hope the pizza's settled. You know that when you deliver pizza, you know, you gotta make sure you don't move it around a lot because the cheese and everything is kind of molten. So you want to make sure you're going to. But Trump's like, I don't know if anything's in the boxes. Hey, how you doing? It's your pizza. Hey. Trump is a genius at saying this is Trump is McDonald's. You know what you're going to get. You know what you're going to get. He doesn't ask for your opinion. He doesn't apologize. You know what you're going to get. And consistency is the thing which is the most. Now, that doesn't mean you're talking about different stuff, different ideas, different. No. So what I'm saying is Ben Shapiro did something which was just so monumentally stupid by looking like he's running from Candace Owens, who just won. Candace doesn't have to do anything. Candace has now, she has just elevated herself into, and she has absolutely, he has elephantine balls. Again, I keep saying, this is not a praise about, oh, I think she's so terrific. Her style, the delivery, the package, the message, absolutely. Noam Chomsky, consistent. Mearsheimer, consistent. You have to be, meaning not boring, not repetitive, consistent. I know who I am. This is what you're going to get. That's it. And finding out who you are is something that I've seen it in the biz. It's very difficult to find out. What am I trying to do? What am I? Am I funny? Am I authoritative? Am I don't know what. And also, when you are a shill for a group, when you are a shill, whether it's Israel, Palestine, conservatives, the NRA, the NFL, whatever it is, when you are owned by somebody, you're dead. Because you're always wondering, did I sound okay? Am I pleasing my overlord? Or do I really believe this? That's what's critical. I can't say that enough. Do you hear what I'm saying? When you, there are people that you know are shills for the, for example, if you're on certain sports teams, radio shows in New York, you better show for the Yankees or else forget it. You're not going to say anything. Don't expect anything. Don't you ever say anything. It makes sense. What the hell am I paying you for if you're not going to deliver the message? So that's that. To show you another example of how this is, Israel has just, I'm sitting back and I'm watching this. And they were hoping, sort of, that maybe this college campus business is going to shift the mood into an anti-Palestinian but pro-Israel perspective. That, if that makes any sense to you. Does that make sense? I think it does. I hope it makes sense. Does that make sense to you? What do I mean by that? Israel's moving parts. Candace wanted to bring up genocide. Ben Shapiro should have said, absolutely, let's talk about it. And believe me, all you have to do to really jam up Candace, very simple. Ask, that's interesting, Candace. I respect that. what exactly is your basis for using the term genocide? This is whatever. This is what I'm going to ask her, not to cross-examine, but to pull out. What do you mean by genocide? Define this so I think we're on the same thing. Do you mean under the ICJ version of it? Do you mean the South African quote indictment? What precisely do you mean? What are you speaking of when you say that? When you speak of genocide, what do you mean by that? Yes. May I ask you, can we agree on something, Candace? Yes. And this is we start off with this. This is the kata. You know, you start off with this. Number one, does Israel have the right to defend itself? Yes. Number two, is Hamas a terrorist organization? Yes. Number three, was October the 7th a terrorist? Yes. And number four, you know, just do. What would you do? How would you respond to this? What would you suggest? If I'm putting you in charge, if Bibi Netanyahu said, here, Candace, and this is where you're going to get her into a corner, and just sit back and keep your mouth shut, Ben. Just let her go. Let her go. Because you realize a lot of it's inextricably impossible. What do you do? How do I deal with 75 years plus of whatever it is? And by the way, who is Hamas? Who is? What is this group? And Candace, if we're trying to go, are we going after terrorism or if you're going after Hamas? And if I put you in charge, what would be your strategy? And what is it that works in that area? I'll never forget, there was a thing I read years ago. They said, you must understand the Arab mentality and the Middle Eastern mentality. There's an expression that an Arab, I'm not necessarily endorsing this, I'm telling you what I heard. An Arab's, the particular phrase was, an Arab or whoever would burn his blanket to kill the fleas. I had a friend of mine, a man I met, but in the Israeli, I guess you'd call it the State Department. We're talking about 9/11. And I said, I thought that George Bush's reaction was absurd. He said, okay. He says, you know what they hear, what they think here? And he says, now understand what I just said. Do you know what they think here? Do you know what people think here? I said, no. He said, they said, nah, that's the America we remember. See, because you can apply, well, you want to go after Hamas? Well, what are you going to do? Tell me how you deal with them. Do you want to go after them the way Noam Chomsky would? Would you like to go after them the way that Medea, what's her name from Code Pink? What? Who are these people? What gets their attention? What was the old expression about the guy who hit a mule between the eyes with a board or something to get their attention? Remember the joke too, the scorpion and the frog? It's my nature. Who are these people? What gets their attention? Don't tell me, Candace, your version, being here and going, being in a nice air-conditioned room and a podcasting with whatever it is. What would you do? How do you get their impression? And how do you use and utilize the mentality and the mindset of Hamas then? What do you do? And believe me, after 10 minutes, she will be going, blah, blah, blah. She doesn't know what the hell she's talking about. She doesn't know what she's talking about. Most people don't. Let people talk. Tell me what you're going to do. Tell me. This is not pro-Israel. It's not anti-Israel. It's the truth. What do you do? How do you do this? What? They don't know. Well, this is genocide. Okay. All right, fair enough. Now, what I'm doing is I'm shifting it. What would you do? I'm not talking about, is it genocide? No, I just changed the subject. Okay, well, what would you do? No, let's talk about genocide. Is this or is this not genocide? Is this or is it? See, enough. What she has to do is she has to shift it right back. You brought up genocide. Don't change the subject. Let's stick to what it is. Now, what does Ben say? What does anybody say? War is genocide. World War II, Dresden, Tokyo, Nagasaki, Vietnam, name it, it's genocide. Got 500,000 people killed so far in Ukraine. What do you call that? Under the rules, Ben shifts it. Under the rules, it is the targeting of an ethnical, religious, national, whatever group, in whole or in part, and it lists genocide. I'm surprised genocide is not. Did you read the definition? And you know what? Here's the best part about this. Candace, now I'm Ben. I'm going to go back and forth. Because remember, do you want to understand the argument? Or do you want to just, maybe you just want to just do platform media stuff. What's the argument here? What are you trying to accomplish? I can switch back and forth. I can be Candace. I can be Ben. I understand it. I understand the issue. I understand it. I understand both sides. I understand both positions. I got it. I got it perfectly. Believe me when I tell you, I got it. Now, let me ask you a question. What is it that you would like me to do? Let's talk about the intent. Oh, this is terrible. Did you hear the stuff that the Ben-Gavir and others and said about the Palestinian? Oh, and they're using that. They use this as an element of the intent portion of genocide. Great. Let's switch around. Would you like me to hear, or shall we talk about the intent of Hamas? Would you like me to hear that? Let's go back to your own U.S. or our own country during Vietnam, about what we said about gooks and Charlie and during World War II about the Krauts and the Nips and the Japs and the... Do you want to use mindless, racist, and horrible rhetoric as an example of genocidal intent? Are you sure about that? Do you really want to do that? Back and forth. But no, Ben, you canceled it. You canceled it. I swear to you. And if you really want to know, this is terrific. Most good problems do not have a left or right, right or wrong. Most are very, very, very simple. Very simple because of the complexity of it. Okay? So that's that. I just can't believe that one. I can't believe that one. And remember, one of the greatest questions is to, and we've had some wonderful questions here, because as you know, I love to bring this one up. There's a term that, interestingly enough, you will not hear genocide. Watch any, and I try to get a quick kind of a smattering of local news. Local news here in New York, you would think local news, national news, Fox News, and others. And what you will see is you will never hear the word genocide. Never. It's just not said. And number two, and this is my dear friend who'll be watching, I'm not going to mention her name. The word Zionism never comes up in this case. And I don't even know if it really is relevant because Americans know nothing about this. Now, next, this is the best part too. The issue of what is and isn't anti-Semitism is the funniest thing you have ever heard in your life. Believe me when I tell you this. You cannot believe this term. I thought to myself, you cannot believe. Okay, here we go. Here we go. The internet, the Holocaust, remember, I think the IHRA, I think this is the term for anti-Semitism. And please, let us begin by saying all of us understand that we are against anti-Semitism and racism, but the definitions are absolutely, it will tell you in the first two words, the futility of trying to define a thought, okay? And more importantly, not only define a thought, but to weaponize it or to proscribe it. Okay, here we go. In the spirit of the Stockholm, this is from the Holocaust Remembrance. This is in the plenary in Bucharest decided to adopt the following non-legally binding working definition of anti-Semitism. Big mistake. I'm a lawyer. This is what happened when you did with Bill Clinton, when you defined for him what sex is. Remember that? People don't understand what that was. They told him what sex meant, and they gave him a loophole. But let me read this to you. Anti-Semitism is a certain perception of Jews. Stop it. It's a perception? Wait a minute. Anti-Semitism is a perception. So it's a thought? I haven't even got this is what? 1, 2, 3, four words. Five. It's a perception. Let me read this to you. Anti-Semitism is a certain perception of Jews, which may be expressed as hatred towards Jews. Rhetorical and physical manifestations of anti-Semitism are directed towards Jewish or non-Jewish individuals and or their property, toward Jewish community institutions and religious facilities. So it is Jewish. You mean Jewish? Jews? Now listen to this one. To guide the IHRA, this is the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, the following examples may serve as illustrations. Manifestations might include the targeting of the State of Israel. Okay. Conceived as a Jewish collectivity. However, criticism of Israel, similar to that leveled against any other country, cannot be regarded as anti-Semitic. Who makes that determination? I don't know. Anti-Semitism frequently charges Jews with conspiring to harm humanity, and it is often used to blame Jews for why things go wrong. Now, the obvious, anytime you call into effect, the suggestion of killing people or hurting people, that goes without saying. This goes to show you the absolute specious nature of daring to put into words, to call this anti-Semitism. This word has gone the way of racism. You've destroyed it. Racism means nothing. The metal fatigue has just given, you've broken this. This concept is through. It is finished. It is done. Because whatever it meant before, you've completely killed it. You've killed it. This was an anti-Semite. This is racist. This is, you're transphobic. It means nothing. You've destroyed it. You've destroyed it. Okay? And that is what's important here to address. Absolutely critical. And you don't really know what's going on. You don't recognize this. Because you got Ben Shapiro out there. Say, like, who is it? Who picked Ben Shapiro? This is your front line? What are you doing? Be very careful. The first thing I would have done if I were Bibi or Israel or whoever, or for speaking of American Jewry, I'm going to say, number one, I want to make sure that Ben Shapiro, every time he opens his mouth, okay, because he just exudes obnoxiousness. I want there to be a chyron that says, you do not speak for anyone. The views, you know how they always have the disclaimers, the views and opinions of Ben Shapiro are only his own and should not be in any way. You don't want Ben Shapiro. I don't want Ben Shapiro speaking on my behalf about anything, especially if he's trying to get the world to respect me or to back off or whatever. Absolutely not. And the same may go for Candace Owens, but she's different. She picks her challenges carefully. They don't even understand how obnoxious Ben Shapiro was. And when Shmuley came along, remember when he was screaming with Piers Morgan? Oh my God, what are you doing? This is it. I said something a while back. This is, and nobody even, they wouldn't even listen to me. When trans, and by the trans stuff, that's done. They don't even know it yet. That's done. We are so tired of that. It's over with. We've just, metal fatigue. it broke. When they would have somebody walk out and say, this is a trans, was a man, and some guy would say, you know, I want to have the same respect. Wait a minute. Hold it. This is the person you're picking? Yeah. What are you, nuts? I would have said, give me somebody who looks like a woman. I know this. I know what I'm saying. It's almost like, what? Yes. Give me someone. Everybody says, that's a man? Yeah. Huh. Maybe there is something to this. Yeah. Wow. That lady was born a man, yeah. And no surgery, no nothing, yeah. Damn. Doesn't that make sense to you? Doesn't that make sense to you? No. They don't do that. They get the Rachel Levines. And they make somebody say, nah, that's what they did. I don't understand this. I don't understand this. If give me the chance, let me put somebody who will make somebody say, you know what? I thought this was crazy at first. No, they don't do that because they don't care. They want to ram it down your throat. Don't go with that imagery too much. That was a bad selection of words. They want to just tell you, screw you. We're going to do it this way. That's the way it is. You either like what we do or not. Shut up. And you see this pink-haired, nose-studded freak screaming into a TikTok thing? Well, that's the way it's going to be. So shut up and take it, right? They're stupid. I don't understand this. I don't understand this. Who is it? Who? Tell me, and I know these people, and I might be, they might be absolutely adamant in their respect and their support of that which is, you know, Palestinian. But I'm saying, do you think this idiot who stands before the world with her keffiyeh screaming about the fact that her food plan has been discontinued, or somebody with these agents provocateurs, these thugs, these atpor Antifa types. Are you kidding me? So I got into not an argument, but a friend of mine, foreign, says, it's great to see the protest. I said, no, you don't know what it is. When they see this, nobody's sitting back and saying, oh, this is terrific. They come across as entitled rat, not rat. What am I thinking, rat? Entitled brats. That's what I'm trying to say. Don't you understand how the stagecraft of this works? No. No. Stand by for a second. You want to talk about stagecraft? You want to talk about stagecraft? How about this man? This man who knows exactly a thing or two about selling the greatest product for luxuriation, I think, known to Western civilization. It's time yet again, my friends, to hail and salute our great friends at MyPillow.com. And if you use promo code Lionel, you'll get a free gift. No purchase necessary. And yes, I know a free gift. It's a tautology, so sue me. But first, listen carefully. Check out their $25 extravaganzas. Premium MyPillows, Queen and King, MyPillow 2.0. MyPillow bed sheets, the lowest price ever. Sandals, slides, slippers, six-piece towel sets, four-pack dish towel sets. Simply and absolutely unbelievable. So go to MyPillow.com/Lionel, MyPillow.com promo code Lionel, or call 800-645-4965 and watch how fast Mike Lindell answers the phone. MyPillow.com, simply and absolutely the best. Can you believe somebody who actually said to Bibi Netanyahu, tell the American public that they are, or tell Joe Biden what you can or can't have students say on campuses? Can you believe that? I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. He said, what are you, nuts? Did you think this one through? You're not going to tell us anything. You're not winning anybody. But first of all, the image that you're trying to get around is that Israel controls Congress. That's what you're trying to do. If I went to BB and said, okay, look, I'm going to help you, okay? I'm going to help you. I'm your PR person. First rule, they're telling you that you own the Congress. So you're not going to tell the Congress what we, as an American citizen, can or can't say. This goes to show you the same attitude of arrogance. Like, I don't care. Don't you care about stagecraft? I don't care. Remember when Biden had, I don't know when it was, some event when he had every seeming trans or pink-haired, nose-studded, tatted freak show up at the White House, including the one who lifted her top up? And remember that? I'm thinking, what are you thinking? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you, a nut? What are you, crazy? What are you doing? How is this helping anybody? They live in this bubble, this fishbowl. They go, don't you understand? We think this. You're going to think this. No. You need somebody outside who looks at this and says, that's not going to win anybody over. You're an idiot if you're doing this. You are an idiot. Period. Nobody understands this. Nobody understands stagecraft. Look at what Trump did. Trump gets it. He goes to a fire department. Oh, my God. They love him. How about these frat boys? When I heard frat boys, I said, is that Proud Boys? Go to a frat mean like fraternity? That was smart. I would have picked up the... I would have picked up the phone and I would have told every pan-Hellenic group or whatever it is around the country or whatever it is. And I'm going to say, you better get your chapter house to follow suit because fraternities are under serious attack as being racist bastions and, you know, pledging disasters and all of these horrible disasters from hazing. And you better get your ass out there and join in the in this maelstrom, this change, this attitude. And I want there to be a complete, I want better stagecraft. I want black, white, Asian. I want everybody showing that it's cool again to sing the national anthem, to salute the flag. Don't bring up Trump. It goes without saying. You don't need to do it. Okay? Do it. This, they love this. You would think people, do you know what happened? Listen to me. I love Bernays. Did you ever hear the story about Nathan's Coney Island hot dogs? Did you ever hear this one? Coney Island in Brooklyn is there was a hot dog stand, and Nathan's is famous, and you go there and you get a Nathan's and whatever it is. Okay. And I forgot how, but they had maybe Nathan himself, I guess, I'm not sure, but the head of this decided that he was going to have as part of a I don't know what the word is. He was going to have, I guess as a promotion, there was a hospital nearby. And he told all the doctors, come by and we'll give you half price for hot dogs or whatever it is if you wear your white coats. And he wanted to juxtapose. And this might have been, I don't know if Upton Sinclair or the jungle or whatever it is, but he wanted to show the health benefits by having all these doctors show up. It was brilliant. And they took pictures showing all of these doctors wearing white. That's what I do. I seize in the moment. I think of stagecraft. I think of the way it looks. I think of every time you're out there, ask yourself, what image am I portraying? Edie Crowley says an average woman with breasts would have been arrested at the White House. Why wasn't that person? That's an interesting point. Edie, why wasn't the investigation into whose cocaine that was ever completed? Raul Rodriguez says, the smart, the witty, the brave, Blair White, thank God. Or TG, I guess. I don't know what that means, but thank you. I guess. Ronald Reagan, the genius. Ronald Reagan, stagecraft. Now, let me ask you something. If you want to win people over, if you want to win people over, if BB or whoever it is, you've got to understand how America works. If America, because you got to ask yourself, if I'm trying to go into the streets of Tehran, it's a different story, obviously. But here, Americans are clueless. Even the more people, remember, there's an inverse proportionality to the size of someone's American flag lapel pin and what they know about what's going on. Remember that. Okay? There's an inverse proportionality between the size of their lapel pin. Okay? They don't know what the hell you're talking about. These people don't know anything. I mean, nothing. Pilgrim Media says some people's kids. Okay. Thank you. I'm not sure what that means, but thank you. I mean that. Thank you. I don't have to understand what you're saying to appreciate your contribution to the cause. I'm interested in how people conceive certain things. See, when you're doing a closing argument, you got to ask yourself this question. What is it that I'm trying to do? Let's say I'm defending you. I'm defending you. I understand what exactly I've got to do. It's not, how do you look? What do you think? What's going on? What's the connection here? I don't know. What do they think about this? I don't know. Do we need a new word, anti-Semitic? I think that word is just done. I think it's like awesome. I was at an event the other day for our good friend, the priest who passed away, and randomly somebody I haven't seen. She said, awesome. I mean, four times, excuse me. I said, are you in awe of what I just said? I'm just curious. I got to ask you, because you said it four times. What does this mean? It's like a hiccup. Awesome. To awe, to be in awe. Something. Your jaw drops. You see God. It is this profound moment. So anti-Semitism has gone the way of awesome. Raul Rodriguez says, Blair White, an American transgender. Okay. I was thinking the Blair White Project. Remember that? That's a Blair Witch Project, which was very, very good. You need a new comment. If I told you the history of anti-Semitism, oh my God. Oh my God. Mrs. L, last night we were watching, I told you, the American Experience. Oh, you've got to see Nazi land in this country. And you've also got to understand the notion of the history of anti-Semitism. What does this mean? And listen, there was anti-Catholicism and anti-religion and racism, certainly. And people always try to say, well, there's always been, Robert Wiener from Lafayette College, I think he's retired now. He did a series on this notion of where does this come from? Where does this anti-Semitism come from? And there was and it goes back, think about this, from the very beginning when Jews would not pay homage or bow before Roman or Greek mythology, myth, and that's a problem right there. Dietary rules, circumcision, different. This was way before anything. This was historical. Understand, read the words of, oh my God, of Martin Luther. Read, what did St. Augustine or Augustine do? Edie Crowley says, Mr. Rowell, these are confusing times. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Confusing, like you can't believe. Where did this come from? What was the deal? This is before the, you know, the notion of deicide, of killing God and all that. But before this cemented part of it, there was this from Constantine to Christianity and what did St. Augustine do? We pretty much had, I think it was Saint, we call him Augustine in Florida, but Augustine came along and said, by the way, because by the way, Christians and Jews were almost identical for a while. I mean, for the most part, with the exception of Jesus, but because remember, there was this confusion. The apostles were Jewish, and then when did they become Christian? When did Christ become a Christian? When did he accept himself as a? But Augustine changed this. He said, "Listen, we're not going to mandate circumcision. We're not. And by the way, circumcision, Jews and Muslims. Come on, shalom, salam. If you don't see the connection with that one, I don't know what to tell you." And it starts, and it picks up, and then this interesting history. It's a wonderful story about how thoughts and hatred can be systemic and systematic. Therese Pollard says, observe, but do not absorb. Okay, interesting. I always read too much. Thank you for that. I always read too much into what you're saying. What are they saying? Did they say what I think they said? I don't know what I said. But thank you. We get lost in the abuse, the movement of the murmuration. I told you this. Birds, when you see these, how do I say this? These things, these murmurations. When you see birds, I remember the first time I saw this, I used to think, this is the greatest thing ever. It fascinated me like you cannot believe. It fascinated me. This was something interesting. Look at this. I'm going to give you this one here. Just a second. Let me see. That's not it. That's not it. This guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I know who's right and who's wrong. And I know, believe me, I know how people view things. Not what's true, but I know what people think. I want to show you this particular story. This is a fascinating piece. And hang on a second. Let me see if I can get this for you. I don't know when I saw this. I think as a kid. I think Schools of Fish. But this is the one that to this day, when I see this, Something happens to me. Something happens in which I, how do we say this? I'm not really sure what the word is, but there are some things that just always stuck with me. And I always love the way animals, because we are, of course, animals and that sort of thing too. But I wonder, I love the fact of how these folks, just a second, I love the way how these folks, look at this, watch this right here. Look at this. Look at this. Look at these birds. Look at this. This is life to me. Do you see this? This is a thing in Rome. Look at the beauty of that. And you don't see one kind of fly off like, hey, where are you going? Look at that. That is the most beautiful. It's like watching a Rorschach test, like an ink blot test. It's beautiful. This is who we are, my friends. This is politics. This is America. This is everything. This is trends. This is social media. This is the fad. This is everything. And the reason why they do this is to conserve energy, but also to scare predators. And each of them have to know the notion of the coordination of it, which is fascinating. There was something called, I think, the University of, was it Princeton, I think? It's called the Rule of Seven, where you have one bird here, and then he has three above and three below. And each one watches the one next to them, and they fly like that. And that's what we do. That's life. That's trends. Overnight, all of a sudden, there were people who came who tattooed entire areas just overnight, part of this. And even though I see that, you will never see me as a member of it. I observe it from afar. I am not into being one of these people. I do not like the crowd. I do not like the crowd. I do not like how they think. But I understand how it works. And I know what people do. Because remember, I live in a world where I walk around, and to me, the world is an insane asylum. And also, I don't want to say this. This sounds terrible. But I don't want to say anything. It's an insane asylum. Insanity is one thing, but it's also, there's a school. It's a special place with special students and a special, you know what I mean? Where you watch what you say. They have a limited view. Americans have a limited, and I can only speak for America, have a limited worldview. They have a limited take, a limited expression, a limited feel. They have a limited ability to grasp the notions of what this is. I will not eat green eggs and ham. Ah, you Seussian genius. Thank you, sir. But when it comes to politics, you have no idea. I ask people, if I say, do you know what this means? What do you think this is? What does this mean? What is protest? I'm doing a video before about the notion of, have you heard about Otpor? Otpor, O-T-P-O-R. Otpor was done Serbian. These are groups of people, we saw them in Occupy Wall Street and others, who teach folks how to organize. We saw it in Maidan. We saw it with what's happening in Ukraine. Nobody knows about that. None. Americans still believe in this. A lot of Americans, maybe the world too, that Vladimir Putin decided one day, I'm going to cause a recoalition, a readhesion of this fractured Soviet Union, and I'm going to bring it back. It's nuts. Nuts. They don't understand these things. And I know I spend a lot of my time saying they don't understand, but they don't understand. And it's so critical for you, if you want to understand this, to disabuse yourself. Pull away, strip it down, and look at what this is about, and get rid of all of the flash. And recognize that if you're going to watch people, especially on various platforms, find out who are the people who are the most at home with themselves, who aren't trying to figure out kind of where they're going, who know who they are. I'm telling you right now, Alex Jones knows exactly who he is. Joe Rogan, exactly. Lex Friedman. Now, granted, I'm not following everybody. Those are the ones. My friend Styx, I'm telling you. Napolitano, these people, they know exactly who they are. You don't see Judge Napolitano all of a sudden say, hey, I got three guys here. We got Jerry, we got Lex. Hey, because I'm going to be funny. I want to be a funny guy. No. And then next week he's serious, or the next week he's this, or people who are. Here's one for you. You either get Andrew Tate or you don't. And if you don't see through that right away, if you don't see that, that's my litmus test. I ask him, what do you think of Andrew Tate? Means one of two things. This guy is so evil. And if you don't see that, You tell me everything. You tell me, I got it. Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. If you can't see what's going on, that's my latest one. While we're on this subject, let's talk about something else. Can you find what somebody really wants to be? Can you find what somebody really wants to be? Do you understand that? When somebody goes out of their way to tell you how tough they are, when somebody goes out of their way to say, look at me, I'm in jujitsu. Look at me. Remember when Zuckerberg was, look at me, I'm doing jujitsu. And then I think Elon was, and then they stopped that. He goes, that's it. I'm a billionaire. What do I care about that? You got to ask yourself, what are you doing with that one? Do you ever watch the duck? What's that guy? Duck, you know, that duck thing with the guys with the beards, the barbates. What were they trying to tell you? What is Kid Rock trying to tell you? What is what's Ted Nugent trying to tell you? Always ask yourself, what's the message? You know who's very interesting right now? Who's looking to land? Lara Logan. She's looking to land. She's trying to figure out where she is right now. She's very confused. Very confused. She's been through a lot, and it shows. You know who else is very interesting? Who is more solid than you realize and more gutsy, but for some reason she's just not kidding. Laura Loomer. I keep saying Laura Loomer. Very interesting. Knows exactly what's going on. Really gets it, but for some reason they don't. Oh, by the way, keep an eye on how people like Oprah and all these people, all of a sudden now they're interested in kids. Have you seen this one? Oh, we got to help the kids. Where have you been? Whenever somebody changes course, whenever somebody adopts a new particular way of thinking, it means one of two things. Either they've been warned, change your tune, they're coming after us, or let's give this one a shot. Because to them, ideology is they'll say whatever they have to say to do whatever that's hip, and that's it. Ladies, have you noticed all of a sudden, Duck Dynasty, thank you, Flat. Have you noticed this one? Please. All of a sudden, menopause. Have you heard this? Menopause. Ladies, we have to address menopause. What? We have to talk about menopause. Did you just discover menopause? Yeah. How many people, seriously, it just all of a sudden, overnight, boom, menopause. We're going to be meeting to talk about menopause. What's there to talk about? I know I'm not going to menopause. I understand that. But I know people, everybody I've ever known, aunts, uncles, mothers, you know, you get to a certain point. Ladies, let's face it. You know, it's a reality. Is this a mystery? Are you wondering, say, you know what? I'm hearing this thing called menopause. They should call it womenopause. I don't know what this thing is. It's menopause. I don't understand what it is. Are you really? It's fascinating. You're fascinated by menopause? Oh, yes. Absolutely. Do you want to talk about menopause? What's there to talk about? What are you talking about? What's going on here? Ladies, do me a favor. Will you please, can you tell me this? Is there something about menopause I'm missing here? Or any of you sitting around saying, I think at a certain age, there might be some hormonal shifts and things might have been. What is going on here? Peter says, I'm getting tired of seeing old women wearing only panties and bras on TV. Look at this. Laura Floyd says, menopause of women suffer and it's not discussed how to get through the pain of change in our bodies. Why is it not discussed? Who the hell is not discussing it? Has there ever been a time in this country where anything has not been discussed? I mean, just ask you something. Is anything, look at this. Prywacky says, this going in all directions, LOL. I guess through that glyph. Yeah, Pry, can you handle it? Can you handle it? This is what I've, you see these things? What are they going? They're going in all directions. No, they're not. Yeah, they are. They're moving, but they're moving on purpose. Yeah, but where are these birds? They're not flying straight. No, Pry. That's what they're supposed to be doing. It's called a conversation. It's called discussion. It's called, you know, talking. When you sit down and meet somebody, I'm just saying, you sit there and say, hey, we're changing the subject. Now you're asking me how my family's doing. Before we were talking about the weather. Are you changing the subject? Yeah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to tell you, please, nobody is suggesting that menopause is unimportant, but have you noticed how all of a sudden it's boom? Remember when restless leg syndrome, boom, tinnitus, boom, it's always been there, always. But all of a sudden somebody says, we need to talk about this on TV. What? We need something new. How about menopause? There you go. Low T. Remember that one? Hey, man, low T. There we go. Talk about that. I'm feeling kind of lonely. We'll talk. It's always been there. You see what it is? Always ask yourself, why are people doing something? Nobody is doing anything on the internet, as it were, because they want to help people. It's to find out what the new labeling is. What's the new marketing for some? What's the new topic? How can we make money? What's the newest one? When I talk about mental health, talk about that. Depression, been there. What else? Weight, been there. Fasting. Ooh, that's good. We'll talk about fasting for a while. It's always been there. Menopause. Okay, there we go. Sparky, by the way. Doug morning. By the way, the thing that a flock of birds does and the school of fish does is another forbidden word on the super chats. Murmuration? That's the strangest thing. It's the strangest thing. All right, dear friends. Listen, you have a wonderful day. Thank you so, so much. I appreciate it. Sparky, thank you. Pilgrim Media, thank you. Therese Pollard, thank you. Edie Crowley, Raul Rodriguez, Pilgrim Media. And thank you. Oh, remember a while back too? Remember when men were going onto the woods with their drums, they're trying to get back into their masculinity? Remember that one? Remember that? Oh, remember that? What the hell is that all about? I'm having such a hard time. Oh, look at this. Edie Crowley says, Mr. Rail, you spend too many plates for some folks. That is true. Remember a while back? Oath keepers and men going into the woods with other men. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. And we're going to get in touch with our masculine because I can't be a man. Really? Okay. Are you having a hard time with that? Yeah. All right. And that was big. Incredible. It was so funny. We're walking by a church of the day and they said AA meetings, whatever it was. And I thought, isn't that something? Isn't that something? A group of people deciding that they are involved in just this non-governmental kind of an organizational voluntary. I thought was terrific. Sparky says, yep, couldn't even send it by itself. It's demented. All right, dear friends. Listen, you have a great and a glorious day. Thank you so much. We'll be back tonight at 7 p.m. I got loads of videos today dropping on a variety of subjects, so please pay attention to that. Also pay attention, again, how this, as an example, how Ben Shapiro just he owned gold himself. Unforced error. Decided to take on Candace Owens for reasons I do not understand. I do not understand any of it. Why are you doing... In a world of discussion and debates, I don't think you should take every debate. Sometimes people want to, but this one you wouldn't want to do and cement yourself. Not only that, you came across as being frightened by her and she won. To think the smartest man in the world actually said, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's go to the arbitrator behind her back and get that, kind of a non-disparagement thing set aside. I mean, what? Insane. Now, dear friends, as I've told you before, and I'm going to say it again, Mrs. L is doing the most important work ever. I want you to follow her right now. Here is the link. I'm going to put it up right now. And all you have to do is just click right here. And it goes right to the subscription page for Lens Warriors on YouTube. Right there. Do me a favor, dear friends. Do it. One more time. Do her and do yourself a favor. Follow Lens Warriors on YouTube. All right, great, great and glorious fiends and friends. Have a doog day, as we say. Don't ever change your mind that sincerely. And until then, remember, the monkey's dead. The show's over. Sue you. Dead.